This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now, he covers the Celtics, CelticsBlog.com. He's Simon Pollock. What's going on, Simon?
Hey, Pat, how are you doing?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I did not expect the Celtics to take the Cavaliers just right behind the woodshed. But that's pretty much what happened in game one. Now, how surprised were you by the, whether you want to say how great the Cavs, how great the Celtics played, how poorly the Cavs played, or both?
Well, I think you hit it, right? I mean, who did expect the Celtics to be able to do that? We all knew that they had something special going this year. I think I'm most surprised by how great the Celtics were. Of course, you'd expect to hear that coming from me. But really, isn't this the Cavs team that we saw that struggled to play defense the entirety of the regular season? And now they came up against a red-hot Boston team that was ready to play defense at every position and attack every mismatch. I mean, I think you got to give it up to the Celtics for staying tough for pretty much the entire game, save a few minutes in the third quarter when they started to relinquish some of that lead. That's got to be the most impressive thing that I saw overall in the night after Cleveland sort of just waltzed through Toronto. I mean, what does it say about Toronto that Cleveland was able to get past them playing basketball like this?
Well, it says that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are giant cowards when it comes to playing LeBron James. But, you know, we already know that LeBron is their daddy. It's just, you know, this year was just extremely pronounced. Simon, you know, this game, LeBron James, well, he didn't shoot very well. 5 of 16, 0 of 5 from 3. Now, he got some boards and some assists, but LeBron, who's been Superman pretty much throughout the playoffs, well, he wasn't Superman yesterday. And what do you attribute to that? Is that, hey, even LeBron can have an off night? Or do you attribute that to specific players or a specific scheme of how LeBron James was defended?
Well, I mean, you know, two things there. Of course, LeBron is human. Perhaps he is able to make us believe that he's superhuman from time to time. And he is the best player in basketball right now, no question. But we are, what, less than 2 weeks removed from a piece by ESPN's Brian Windhorst about how he looks for opportunities to walk up and down the court. He looks to take possessions off. And against this Celtics team, at least for game one, they knew they were going to be able to come out and run off of every rebound and make him have to play defense. And it's already been a long playoffs for LeBron. We know he's doing a lot of work. He carried that team through two series already. And you got to figure he was due for an off night, even getting 16 attempts. None of them were easy, by the way.
Talking with Simon Pollock, CelticsBlog.com. Simon, Celtics had three guys with over 20 points. Now, Marcus Morris, you thought, had pretty much signed his own death warrant when he decided to go run his mouth to the media about how he's the LeBron stopper. Well, he had 21 and 10.
Yeah, he did. You know, Marcus Morris, high upside guy for sure. Certainly, perhaps his best quality is that he's never going to back down from a challenge. But let's not just remember him from game one in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's remember the long stretches of games against the Sixers when he could not hit a shot. Obviously, he is a talented player, and he has the size and athleticism to slow LeBron down. But it's not every night that Marcus Morris comes out and shoots 7 for 12 for 58% from the field that he knocks down 3 of his 4 three-point attempts. That just doesn't happen with him that much. Can he do it? Sure. But most of the time, he's taking a shot late in the shot clock, and he's fading away, he's turning around, he's tossing up jumpers that almost nobody else on the team takes except for Jason Tatum, and Tatum makes them.
Well, I think that's why it's so surprising is here's a guy who's not really a terrific scorer. He calls out LeBron James and then has a great game. Like, usually, yeah, if you call out LeBron James, You know, he takes it like, all right, I am going to personally assault you, your family. I'm going to burn down your house. I'm going to steal your car. I'm going to empty your bank account. Like, it's so personal with LeBron when you go at him. And here, Marcus went at him, and he got the better of him.
It really is insane. You know, there were other things that were indicating maybe what you were talking about before, that James was having an off night. There were possessions when Terry Rozier got switched on to James and he couldn't get a bucket. I mean, something was off, and he may have thrown in the towel even earlier than any of us who are watching the game could see. He certainly came out much earlier with the rest of the starters in the fourth quarter when Tyronn Lue decided that was it. But you got to give it up to the other guys that stepped in. Semi Ojeleye took a few possessions in there. James couldn't get the better of Horford, who he's owned in the playoffs for Horford's entire career. Horford had a great game, too. I mean, it smells funky to me. And honestly, I would expect the LeBron that you described, who has a personal vendetta against you and your entire estate, I expect him to show up in Boston tomorrow.
Now, when you joined us last week, you know, I asked you about, you know, the idea was the Sixers had more talent on the floor. The Celtics are more disciplined and better coached. Are we underselling the value of the talent on the Celtics? Well, now you've had, you know, now we're into the next series. Are the Celtics continuing to show that some of these young guys on the team, you know, your Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart and these guys, are we underselling their value?
I mean, let's look at this series through a different lens. We're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had to ship out half of their roster at the trade deadline. And while they brought back some guys who can really score the basketball and maybe refresh the entire mentality in a locker room that was getting pretty tense, according to reports that were coming out of Cleveland, they did not bring back ace defenders. They did not bring back two-way players. George Hill has not been a two-way defender for much of his career, and certainly Jordan Clarkson is not. They just didn't bring the guys that could take the beating that the Celtics can give you on both ends of the court. And when you look at the Celtics, I think they are more talented than this Cleveland Cavaliers team. I really think they are.
Is this? Do you believe that this will be an example of team basketball overcoming the one megastar?
Well, now you're getting close to who I expect to win the series, and I think I would be a fool to pick against LeBron James. Do I want to? Do I believe in this team? Yeah. Can they beat him in the Eastern Conference Finals when he has amazed us time and time again throughout 15 seasons in his career? I just don't know.
You can do it.
Simon Pollock with the CelticsBlog.com. Now, look, LeBron has been down 0-1 before, and I want to say the last five times he's been down 0-1, they've won every series. But, again, this is one of those. I don't think there should be any question of who has the coaching edge here. Like,
no,
you know, this
not
is,
at all.
You know, Brad Stevens and Ty Lue, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be mean to Ty Lue, but let's be real. He can't carry Brad Stevens' jock as a coach. So is this a – do you – think about how you felt about the series before it started and how you feel about it now. Is it much different?
Well, I think that if any of us could have looked at the teams on paper and – gamed out the matchups, we would have started to have a sneaking feeling in some of the editors over at Celtics blog. We felt that we had matchup advantages just looking at the way that the teams have performed so far in the playoffs. But I want to go back for a second. I have to tip my hat to Ty Lue, because he still has a team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals after that near wholesale roster change. So let's start there.
That roster change might be why they're in the playoffs, not for nothing.
Right. And he's able to corral that team, with LeBron on it and still make something of it. And they were fantastic offensively. But when it comes down to it, you start looking at which coaching staff is able to counter better and able to expect and plan for what the next team is going to do. I'm certainly going to give that to the Celtics staff, to Brad Stevens and his guys over Ty Lue. You know, all due respect to Ty Lue, like I said, for being able to accomplish what he did after that move at the trade deadline. The gamer is LeBron, and LeBron might as well be a player coach in this day and age.
All right, so who is the guy, and you saw how well they played in game one, who is the guy that has to continue to overachieve for the Celtics to have a really good shot to win this series?
So it has to be Al Horford, right? I mean, I think that we're going to continue to get consistency from Jason Tatum scoring the basketball. I don't think he has a matchup advantage against everybody on that Cavs team other than LeBron. So that will be consistent. We'll expect that. It's Horford that is going to need to continue to just fake every Cavalier out of his shorts, read every play, make every extra pass, dive to the rim when no one's expecting it. I think he's been having such an incredible postseason, and he needs to keep it turned up. He needs to keep the knob turned to 11 for sure.
Who's harder to score on, Tristan Thompson or Thompson's Thought Squad?
I plead the fifth.
I figured I'd at least give you one that would be fun, right? Simon Pollock, CelticsBlog.com. Simon, how can people find you on Twitter?
They can find me at Scoober, S-C-O-O-B-E-R-F-T-W. That is, as we talked about last time on the show, that's a reference to Ultimate Frisbee, the other sport I cover.
Yeah, I think Jose is looking into where we can do that frisbee golf thing, where we can do that somewhere around here. Like, it would be fun to go, you know, bring like a couple of 12 packs down and go figure out how to do this. Might have a good time.
You got it. That's how everybody's doing it anyways. You've already got one thing that you need. Now you just got to get the frisbee.
Simon Pollock, CelticsBlog.com, with us on the hotline. Appreciate your time tonight, buddy. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Simon Pollock, CelticsBlog.com.